Well, good morning, Hope Church. I wonder if I could have all the children. Could all the children come and sit here? Because we're going to have a little fun time together. All the children, come on up here, and we're going to have a little talk. I'm going to reveal something here. What have I got here? Oh. Wow. I wonder what... Now, can anybody tell me what this is? And what have we been saying? What is it, Malachi? It's a pineapple. Yeah, and it's got a word written on it. Can you read that word on the front? It's joy. Now, somebody in our congregation just pointed out to me that the word joy actually means Jesus only you. So thank you, Jim, for that. That's a lovely word that was brought to us already this morning. Now, we've been studying about the... Can anybody read this?
What is Spirit.
That's right. Yeah. And does anybody remember what they are? Those fruits of the Spirit. Do we know what those fruits of the Spirit are? Can anybody tell me? Does anybody remember what the list was? There's lots. Could you remember? Can you tell me one other fruit of the Spirit? You're going to have a grapefruit. You can have it. You go sit down. That's absolutely fine. Right. Anybody remember the list that we had? Now, I wonder if there's anybody here in front of me that could maybe read what those fruits are. Does anybody know what those are? Can anybody? Oh, there is. Well, can you read what those words are up there for me? It's behind me. What? No. Well, no. All right. Can you tell me what those fruits are? What's everybody making such a noise for in here? Why are they doing? Well. Can anybody read this? What are you talking about? What are you? Oh, Lordy B. Lordy B, someone stole my joy. Someone stole my pineapples and stole my joy. Is there anybody here in this house that can bring me back that joy? Oh, look. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you continue to bring us joy. Now, children, the Bible says that Jesus came to bring us joy. You all right, darling? I know. Oh, all right. There you go. So Jesus came to bring us joy. The devil sometimes tries to steal our joy. I wonder, does anybody know how that happens? How can the devil steal our joy? Does anybody know? Perhaps if... Sarah.
Satan.
Well, yes, that is... Yes, you're right. But how does he steal our joy? Addiction. Well, yes, but well, I'm just trying to think on this level down here. We will hear more about that later. But perhaps if you have a brother or sister and sometimes you fight with them, maybe you say an unkind word, maybe if you say an apology, your joy can be restored. So I have a little project for you guys. Well, I'm going to talk to the adults, if that's all right. So that was a bit of light drama. As we continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit, get my clicker first, that would be good. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Linda. I've been part of this community since 2003. And I just want us to quickly remind ourselves of what that list is of the fruit of the Spirit's part of our series. So we can see that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thank you to Tim and to Shaw, who's already superbly covered peace and self-control, which you can listen to on our church website. Okay, today I want to introduce our third topic in the series on the fruit of the Spirit, and that is joy. Now, I chose to speak about joy because I really believe it's the diamond in the fruit bowl, and yet it's so often overlooked, misunderstood, or ignored. So with God's help this morning, may the words of my mouth bring glory to his name as we unpack the mystery of that joy. So I'd like us to consider three things this morning with regard to joy and its influence on our way of life as Christians. The first one is, what is joy? And what does Jesus say about joy? And how can we, as Christians, be full of joy and live joyful lives despite our circumstances? Okay, we'll have a bit of time at the end to reflect and to finish by listening to a short recording to contemplate what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you this morning. So, first up, what is joy? Well, to better understand, perhaps we could ask a set of alternative questions, such as, is joy the same as happiness? Am I happy? Do I have joy? Why is joy included in that fruit bowl? And what is so important about it if you're a Christian? Well, that's probably an entire conference. Okay, so let's just grasp the starting point. Okay, let's just delve in a little bit. What is happiness? What's our understanding of happiness? Well, I throw out to you this morning that happiness, it's an emotion, it's external, and it's situational. It usually depends on circumstances like getting a promotion or eating your favorite meal, receiving a gift. It's temporary and it's fluctuating. It can come and it can go really quickly, often influenced by events outside your control. It's emotion-based, okay? It's more a reactive reaction to what's happening around you. But joy, it's more complex. It's internal and rooted. It's less tied to external conditions and more about your inner state, your mindset, or your perspective. Joy is stable, and it's enduring. Even in tough times, people can feel joy through gratitude, through meaning, or through spiritual connection. Joy is deeper than emotion. Joy is often described as a state of being rather than just a fleeting feeling. So here's some examples I put together. Now, these are from my perspective. You might have other examples. So in relationships, happiness might mean getting a compliment from your partner or your friend or receiving a thoughtful gift. But joy might be when you feel connected, loved, and grateful for the relationship itself, even during ordinary or tough times. In work life, happiness could manifest as a promotion, finishing a project or getting a compliment from your boss. Joy, on the other hand, is often finding meaning or fulfillment in the work itself, knowing that it aligns with your values or helps others, regardless of external rewards. It's more an altruistic sense of purpose. So, recently, I had the immense pleasure of attending my son Matthew's wedding in Sicily. So here's a photo for you. Now, the day was perfect. They were married in church. Oh, my absolute prayer. Family and friends came from around the world. I have a very international family. My brother and sister with their spouses came from America. My stepson came from Norway with his three children. We had people from Scotland. We had people from Greece. It was just a wonderful event. Was I happy? You bet I was. Was I joyful? Of course, I was joyful. But here's the photo that gives me greater joy. Okay, a deeper sense of how God has worked over the years in our family so that we could actually stand all together there to have that photo taken. So I'm standing in the middle there, surrounded by my two sons, their wives, my four stepchildren, my seven grandchildren, my ex-husband and his wife, and many friends and family. So those of you who know me know my journey.
It's a true miracle, a miracle of joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit that only comes when we surrender our lives to God. So, and how do we do that? How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, there's a very famous verse quoted, sometimes I believe quite flippantly because we don't really understand the meaning behind it. We don't sometimes understand the context or the deeper meaning. And this is the verse. Very often you'll hear people say, oh, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is what Nehemiah said to the people after they had toiled and they struggled to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Every gate was covered by the families of each of Israel's tribes. Okay, there was threat of attack from the opposition, so the workers held spears in one hand to defend the wall and trowels in the other to continue the work. They were doing working night and day. The hardship, the endurance it took to complete the wall are described in detail in the book of Nehemiah. But if we read around the familiar verse, we can understand its deeper sense. So I challenge you to go to the book of Nehemiah and read some of the events that go around that verse. So here we have Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer to the king. He was told by God to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in this part of the book, it says that Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn and weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Then the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So we too can seek out joy in our own lives, giving us strength in difficult circumstances, with the help of the Holy Spirit, whether we're building walls, whether we're building families, God can work the most amazing miracles of joy. Amen. So, what does Jesus say about joy? Here we are. So we read in the Gospel of John where Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 11, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy flows from staying connected to him. It's not dependent on circumstances, but on a relationship with God. And later in John 16, Jesus tells his disciples, he's having a lovely discussion with his friends. He says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Even in sorrow or hardship, his presence brings a joy that cannot be stolen. We know that the devil searches far and wide to steal our joy, to steal our pineapples. But focusing on Jesus, renewing our relationship with him, reading his word, praying and meeting with other Christians can all help us to center on that joy of the Lord that only he can bring. I just brought an example of what helps me. This is actually my Bible. I don't usually bring it on a Sunday because it's quite heavy now. But ladies, if you want to have a little search, it's wonderful. You can color in here. You did it. Isn't that beautiful? Lots of joy over here. Beautiful. So it's one of these sort of interactive Bibles. And this is when I really want to get stuck into the Word. I just love this Bible. I just read it, and it just brings me such great joy. And in Hebrews 12, speaking about Jesus himself, the writer says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus' example of his ultimate sacrifice demonstrates the true joy that can exist even alongside suffering when rooted in love and purpose. So we can see by those few examples that joy is a gift to all believers, available to everyone. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit who produces joy as part of the fruit of the Spirit. This means that joy is not something that you manufacture, okay, but it's something that God grows within you. Jesus teaches that joy is a divine gift rooted in God's presence, love, and promises. Unlike happiness, which fades, the joy he gives us is complete, unshakable, and eternal. We nurture it daily through abiding, gratitude, service, and spirit-led living. So let's just have a little look at these next points. I don't know if you can read that. It's quite small, but I can, if anybody would like copies of these, I can send them to you. All right, the first, abide in him. We see this in the book of John. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy comes from staying connected to Jesus like branches to a vine. Joy that no one can take away in the book of John. Your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. True joy isn't based on circumstances, but on the presence of Jesus. Joy in serving and sacrifice. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Joy can exist even in hardship, no matter what you're going through, when we live our life for love and for purpose. Joy comes through the Spirit. Joy is not self-produced. It's a fruit of the Spirit living in us. It's how we live our lives. And the last one is joy in trials. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Joy isn't the absence of problems, but it's the presence of the peace and the joy of Christ. Okay, so now let's just look at the next point we can explore to better understand and to encourage each other to live a more joyful existence, one full of joy in the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, when I was preparing for today, I really had a sense of God's desire for us to think about and to reflect on those times of joy that we experience here in Hope Church, together, when we meet as his people. So in the early days of the church, we learn that believers, even in the midst of persecution, gather with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. That's in the book of Acts. Joy was a hallmark of their life together, a testimony to the world of God's transforming work. In our fellowship here at Hope Church, we love to sit around a table, break bread, eat, and basically have a good reason to eat a meal together. Okay, so please look out for the next event and sign up. Join us. Now, this slide brings me great joy. Do you remember this day? These are baptisms. We've got some lined up for September. If you've never been to one here, there's nothing like it. It's a time to hear great testimonies, witness a believer's next step in their faith, and hear God speak through his people. Words of knowledge, prophecies, and gifts of the Spirit abound at these celebrations. And finally, there's a recent photo. Now, when I started this talk, I thought of this photo, and I thought of the photo of my family lined up together. This is what God does. He brings people together. So this is where we officially welcome newcomers into our congregation. These are joyful days, where we're reminded of what God does through his Spirit. We read further in Acts, in chapter 2, how the joy of the Lord impacted the growth of their fellowship. So every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we've come to the end of our discussion, short discussion on joy. We've looked at what joy is and what joy isn't. We've heard some scripture of what Jesus says about joy. You've had some examples of joy we can experience here when we meet together in Hope Church. So now I'd like you to take a few minutes to listen to a track. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just heard the verses of this song, and I feel it's a good way to tie everything up. So please reflect on what the Holy Spirit might have been stirring in you during some of these words, what he might be revealing to you in your own life, and thank you.